Unce.com. This is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest today is Ben Samples, highly sought-after producer out of the Boulder, Denver scene there in Colorado. He's dabbled in everything from dubstep to glitch hop and everywhere in between. He's got one of the hottest tracks on the Polish Ambassador remix album, threw down not one but two killer collaborations with Ill Gates on his forthcoming album from Moody Music, The Ill Methodology, and Samples himself released two EPs almost simultaneously last month, Sex, Drugs, and Bass, and Chillworks Volume 2. We're going to learn all about him on today's program and hear some exclusive tracks from his brand new album, Malbec, which will be out on Elliott Lip's Old Tacoma label in early November. Today's episode is brought to you by Tall Tree Lake Festival, taking place this weekend at Tall Tree Lake in southern Illinois, just 20 or so minutes from Carbondale. The festival starts tomorrow and runs through Saturday late night with Elisha, Mondo, Bass Signs, Basstoven, Elfkowitz, Project Aspect, Unlimited Gravity, Splatterbox, which is Freddie Todd and Grizz, and of course Fresh to Death, who follow Conspirator on the main stage tomorrow night. And you all know that Fresh to Death is Greg Fist and my guest, Ben Samples. Let's get to the interview. I wonder, you're such a staple in the Colorado scene. Are you originally from the Centennial State, or are you a transplant from somewhere probably much less beautiful and with much poorer air quality?
Yeah, I was born in Houston, Texas, but I only lived there for a few years because, you know, so I was young, so I don't really call that home. And then I lived in Pennsylvania for a little bit, and then I moved to Wyoming when I was like in middle school. But by the time I was in high school, I had moved to Colorado. So I've been in Colorado for about 10 years now. So I call Colorado home.
Okay. And we'll get to it a little further down the road, but you're known for your homages or straight-up remixes of classic rock and heavy metal from back in the day. Is that what you grew up on? Were you a classic rock kid and maybe a heavy metal teen and grunge and all that?
Yeah, pretty much. That kind of, sums it up. I think as a kid, my dad was, he was a guitar player, so he was always into, you know, like 70s guitar rock and stuff like that. And really, you know, I think the best stuff wasn't like the yacht rock and the soft stuff. It was always the, you know, like the heavier stuff, the, you know, Metallica and stuff like that. So I tended to listen to more of that, and I never really got into the jam side of things until kind of like later. And that was just because friends kind of were like, oh, check out Grateful Dead.
But
I've never really been into the jammier stuff,
which is different from a lot of producers from Colorado. So you're more the heavier trailblazer. Did you want to pick up the guitar?
No, I was actually a really talented guitarist. I learned when I was like 10 or so. And basically, you know, by the time I was in high school, I was a, you know, proficient guitarist. And I decided when I came out to college that if I was like the best guitarist in the world, I was still just another guitarist. So I ended up giving up my guitar, which was kind of hard, and then buying a keyboard and trying to learn the keyboard and do electronic music.
What was the electronic music that you'd come across that sort of convinced you to make this pretty big switch in your life?
In high school, I kind of started, you know, instead of, you know, in early high school, I was kind of more into like bands like Tool and Rage Against the Machine. And then kind of towards the end of high school, I got into a lot more hip hop. You know, I mean, I always liked hip hop, but then I got like really serious about it. And, you know, with hip hop, it's more about like sampling and making beats. And I think that I just wanted to make beats. So I got, you know, a laptop and started kind of messing around with sequencing and stuff. But then I realized I needed to learn the keyboard too. So I think it was mostly to kind of shift in my style from more rock-based music to more kind of hip-hop and electronic stuff.
And I understand at this time you also were working in radio, is that correct?
Yeah, well, so that was the shift kind of when I started making music at a very kind of like amateur level. That was before I started getting into the radio, but kind of just because I'd always been into music and I had, you know, a wide variety of what I listened to. And the other thing about coming out to CU for college is that, you know, I was exposed to a lot of like indie rock right away. So that kind of definitely changed what I was into. And then I got into college radio at CU Boulder, Radio 1190, and just kind of like started volunteering and checking it out. I think actually one of my friends like met somebody that was working at the radio station. He was like, "Hey, yo, you want to come with me down to this radio station? I don't want to go by myself." And we ended up both going down, and then I ended up getting involved, and he like never really went back. So it was kind of just a random, you know, chance. And then that got me into a lot of kind of obscure music, because the radio station focus was to not play anything that gets a lot of plays. So we had a rule where you could only play, you know, one song, or you could play one artist one time every week. And that like was that was true for everybody that was on the radio station. So if somebody played, you know, Radiohead or Arcade Fire like on Monday, then you couldn't play it till next week. So it really helped me start listening to music that I normally wouldn't listen to. And that's kind of how I got into a lot of the experimental electronica stuff that kind of helped shape my sound.
I got to take advantage of this because I don't get to speak to many radio people, but I imagine as you're traveling the country and you end up on a lot of campuses, do you try and tune in and see if there are still, you know, campus radio stations broadcasting to the city in which they are in? I know a lot are changing to from terrestrial radio to internet radio, and a lot of them are just shuttering their doors completely. And you know, a lot of people of this generation, people who are starting to go to college now, don't realize how important college radio is. And for that reason that you were talking about, because they play more obscure stuff and things that are certainly not mainstream, not top 40, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think the thing is with kind of like just the age of information that we're in now, like people think they want to be their own DJs. You know what I mean? They want to like pick out this playlist of these artists that they like. And it's a lot easier nowadays because you can just plug in your iPod and hit on shuffle, and then you feel like, you know, you did something. So it's getting harder with radio and stuff to kind of keep listeners. So the people that do listen to it kind of have a more active mind. I think that our fan base from when I was in college radio, it wasn't really a lot of college students. It was a lot of kind of people that were kind of quirky old people and you know, kind of loners and stuff. But the thing is, they really valued the fact that they could get something that you can't really get anywhere else. Like, you know, you're getting a selection that's based on, you know, what's new in the scene and what's, you know, classic, and, you know, these college kids that are just discovering all these artists for the first time. So it's, you know, it was an interesting experience. You know, I definitely had to move out of it after a while because just doing radio for free is not very, not worth your time, you know.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
Yeah. what he gonna do? Run up on me if you want to. Hot damn, pressing his homie and get done up in front of his mama. I'm up the floor with him and I kick in the door and let the fofo get him. I got fools that'll go get him. This is him, his boo, and them dudes that run with him.
The Samples remix of Crazy Train from his EP Sex, Drugs, and Bass.
You're of a generation that maybe got the opportunity to skip a few steps in your development. When you first became interested in electronic music, were you coming at it from solely a production standpoint, or was the radio guy in you still thinking DJ? Did you have a sort of concept of what it is you wanted to do in the scene?
Well, there was really actually a huge separation. Like I said, I kind of got into making beats, and then I got into radio. And, like, the beat making kind of, like, was this, and I didn't really share it with the radio crowd because they were, you know, like, indie hipsters that, you know, knew what was hot. And, like, you know, until my music got popular, it wasn't something to really even talk about. So what I'd do is I'd, you know, kind of, like, make that stuff and play it for friends, but never really play it out. And then kind of the time when I got focused with my music, I kind of was doing a lot of house parties and playing more like electro and just kind of like up-tempo dance music, and decided that I wanted to do more hip-hop kind of style stuff, but I wanted to make everybody dance like they dance to electro. So I just kind of like took electro songs and slowed them down, and that was kind of like the format for how I first started making my sound. And then, you know, if you listen to a lot of my old stuff, that's pretty much how all of it sounds. It's this kind of like slowed down, you know, big breakdowns, big buildups, electro synths, and, you know, it's still pretty true to this day, actually, for the most part.
Were you aware of maybe the infiltration of bass music from the UK, or did you feel like you were sort of on an island and doing this stuff by yourself, not really conscious of what was going on in the greater scene, not just Colorado, but in the West Coast, and just whatever sort of trends were happening in quote-unquote electronic music? I feel like, you know, you were more in the hip-hop sect and not in what later became this sort of bass movement that has taken over.
Well, the thing was, I was trying to make bass music because I like hip-hop, but beats are, they were always kind of boring to me, so I was trying to make more like, you know, big room electro type stuff. But the thing was, it was a little bit before I had an internet community to kind of like, you know, show me what was popular and stuff. So I thought I was like cutting edge. And then I remember when I discovered like the Glitch Mob and Bass Nectar, and they were already kind of doing the same sound, the kind of like slower electro, kind of like hip hop tempo, but not dubstep. I was like, oh, dang, I'm not doing it, you know.
You missed the boat.
Yeah. So, but you know, at that time, too, there was really only a few artists. You know, there was the Glitch Mob.
Sure.
Between those four people, they had a ton of stuff, and that was, like, good to go. You know, like, some people like Laser Sword and Megazoid and stuff, some of the Canadian people, they were, you know, early on it. But a lot of it was just kind of, like, people that were making hip-hop that were making it a little bit harder, not people like me where it's not even really a hip-hop beat anymore. It's kind of more like, to the core, it's more of an electro track because it's got so much breakdowns and build-ups and, you know, just a lot of, like, you know, expressive, like, movement, you know, arrangement.
Sure.
But, you know, that was around the time I discovered the Glitch Hop Forum, which really made me realize there was a community that was centered around it and not just, like, you know, this thing that I'm doing by myself in the middle of Boulder, Colorado.
Here's the world premiere of a new one from Samples, Malbec, out in early November on Old Tacoma. This is The Itching.
Oh yeah.
We'll be right back.
I want to talk about some of your other colleagues in bass music and in the scene as a whole. You got to play a few recent dates with Elliot Lipp, and you've even released some music under his Old Tacoma label. Tell me about the influence that he's had on you musically, while certainly you guys do vastly different stuff.
Yeah, so Elliot and I, we're both managed by the Madero Group, so we've been doing a lot more touring and hanging out a lot more recently. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, the same way with my collaborations with, like, Dominic Lawley from Big Gigantic or Dylan Ill Gates, you know, everybody has a little different style. And my style tends to be more, you know, like, big synths, simple drops where, you know, when it goes into the main part, it's kind of just drums and bass. And a lot of those guys, they like to really play with layers and the musicality of it. So, you know, working on collaborations, it makes me think about being more musical, and it makes them think about being more simple, you know, for dance crowds, you know. So Elliot's music, you know, to me, the best part about it is it's really catchy. Like, you get the song stuck in your head. So, and I think that was always the thing with hip-hop, that with hip-hop beats that appealed to me, is that when you listen to this hip-hop beat, afterwards you've got the hook stuck in your head because it's, you know, a 4-bar loop that repeats for 80 bars.
Sure.
So I think that each of these different guys that I work with kind of like bring out a different side of creativity to me. You know, like when I worked with Gladkill recently, you know, it made me think about making a little bit sexier and, you know, using chords and, you know, stuff like that, and working out of my tempo comfort zone too.
And similarly, your debut full length, I believe, was put out on Matt B's Made in Glitch label. And I understand that he's been a huge advocate in the world of glitch hop, especially to a lot of folks in your set. And you get to see him this weekend, so it'll be a nice little reunion.
Oh, yeah, at Tall Tree. Yeah, Matt B's great. Made in Glitch was the easiest label I've ever worked with. And I was really excited to get that opportunity. And I think in the future, I don't have any releases slated to come out because I feel like I want to give him the glitchy stuff, you know, not necessarily the dubstep or the more, you know, I don't know, not even experimental, but the more straightforward stuff. So my next release with him is going to be kind of more, I think it'll be more focused on the glitch hop elements of my music, whereas a lot of the new stuff I'm working on is more kind of, you know, more straightforward composition, and, you know, there's not as much glitchy and percussion driven stuff. It's more a little more melodic and sound design driven.
the title track from the new samples disc out in early November on Elliot Lipp's Old Tacoma label. So let's talk about some of your more recent releases and your divergent abilities and interests. At the beginning of last month, you put out two EPs virtually simultaneously. Let's first talk about Sex, Drugs, and Bass, which, as I alluded to earlier, is a real tribute to classic rock and post-grunge of our youth, Nine Inch Nails, Rage, Ozzy. And I believe there's some Kansas in there as well. In a world where guitar is almost a four-letter word, you chose to embrace it. What was your inspiration for the EP? Was it looking back at your youth and looking maybe longingly at the guitar gathering dust in the corner of your room?
Well, yeah. I mean, what I found was like it became more and more difficult to work with guitar, you know, to make electronic music. So I was just, you know, I kind of messed around with it early on, maybe about a year ago. I did a remix of Def Leppard. Basically, that one came about because I was listening to this Def Leppard album, because I kind of listen to just random stuff, whatever I want, whatever pops in my head. And the intro song had this really awesome intro, so I just wanted to use that intro. And then I made this short little remix, and it was really fun to make. You know, I was cutting up the guitar and slicing it up, and it, you know, it was really fun. So, like, that one kind of, like, got me started on thinking that it's cool to do rock again. But then it wasn't until I kind of got a hold of some stems and remix parts for all those songs that I did for the Sex, Drugs, and Bass. And so I could do really legit remixes of them. So that got me really excited about kind of, like, you know, sparking people's interest in rock again. Because the thing is, we all grew up with those songs. Like, when I play them out, people sing every lyric, you know? So it's like using that element, you know, that people kind of forgot about, it makes them kind of like, you know, you see big smiles come on their face when they hear, like, you know, the Back in Black guitar riff pop through the speakers, you know?
Sure. I just saw the made-for-TV movie Hysteria, the old VH1 classic. That shit holds up. It's fantastic. You know, it will bring a smile to your face. At the same time as Sex, Drugs, and Bass came out, you released the second volume in your Chillworks series, which borrows heavily from the world of R&B. Do you see yourself go through very distinct phases of inspiration, or are you just totally ADHD in the studio and making all sorts of stuff, and then you got to find a way to lump it all together?
Well, no, you know, it's hard to just make, like, hard, disgusting bass songs all day long. So I'll just kind of, like, mess around with kind of more chill stuff, kind of experimental stuff. And usually when I make those songs, it's because I've been, like, kind of on, you know, like, a break from music. Like, I'll be on tour and I come back and I haven't made a song in a week or two, and I'll be like, okay, let's make something. And I'll make something kind of a little more, like, mellow, because usually when I'm on tour, I don't listen to, you know, like, Brostep on the road the whole time. I listen to more, you know, smooth R&B and future garage and stuff like that. So that stuff, it, like, you know, is really inspiring if you listen to the right stuff. So I come back and, like, that's what I've been, you know, bumping in my headphones the whole time. So then I end up making tunes like that. And then when I get back home in the studio, I start listening to harder music, and then I go back and make some hard music. So it's kind of just going back and forth. The thing is, like, if I make one style only, I get really tired of making that style, and then I, like, will never make it again. So I have to kind of be flexible.
Okay. And finally, this weekend at the Grassroots Dome at Tall Tree Lake Festival in Southern Illinois, you're performing with your good buddy Greg Fisk as Fresh to Death. I was wondering if you could give me just a short little background on your collaboration with Fisk.
Yeah, for sure. We started about 2.5 years ago now. And we actually, back, you know, 3 or 4 years ago in Boulder, we both were from Boulder, and we were both kind of messing around with the glitch hop sound. And we were, like, the only two DJs that were doing it kind of in the college scene. And we were just big, you know, house party homies. And we ended up connecting and kind of playing a few shows together. And then, you know, I was making, you know, that was when I had, about maybe 6 or 7 originals that were pretty dope. And Fisk got a book for a show with, like, Laser Sword, and he asked me to come, like, play with him because, you know, I had some new stuff that was hot. So we just, like, both kind of went up on stage and played together, and we, like, really killed it, just doing, like, the remix stuff and constantly dropping, like, acapellas over each other's stuff. And so we just kind of decided to form a group, and then just kind of took off from there. You know, people, especially in the Boulder scene, when we first started, they wanted kind of, like, more of a dynamic pairing or, you know, multiple DJs, because what they're used to is, you know, like the Glitch Mob or, you know, any other duos like that, that they're used to seeing, like, they think it's more of a show if there's more people on stage. So that really played to that advantage from the start. And, you know, just kind of kept it up and kind of kept evolving our sound. So we've definitely, I think this summer and this year, we've hit the festival circuit harder than we have in the past. And we're really trying to push for that type of crowd as opposed to, you know, the club crowd or whatever. We do really well at the club crowd, but the festival crowd has been kind of our forte this year.
And when you've been going out and doing solo shows so much, and then you come back to Fresh to Death, is it like, now how do we do this again? Or what do you want to do? Or is it just like riding a bike? You guys just can read each other and know exactly what you're doing one time.
Well, the whole idea is, and we always had really great chemistry. The whole idea was that with the project was just kind of like pop up on stage together and just kind of like let it happen. You know, it was never planned. Like, you know, if we had bigger shows, we'd kind of plan it, but they would be based on stuff that we've done in the past. So, you know, with when I come back to it, it's just kind of like, okay, just try to do something you haven't done before and it'll work.
Well, we wish you luck. It's going to be a lot of fun. Ben Samples, thanks so much for being on the Unz podcast.
Yeah, thanks, the Unz.
That's going to do it for this week's Unz podcast. Special thanks go to Matt Ramsey with G9 Collective and IndieMojo.com, Jamie Minotti, Aaron Dvorak, Darren Goldberg, and everyone at Madero, and of course my guest, Ben Samples. Sex, Drugs, and Bass and Chillworks Volume 2 are up now at samples.bandcamp.com, and Malbec is coming out in early November on Old Tacoma Records. You can catch Samples at Tall Tree Lake Festival this weekend in beautiful Goreville, Illinois. Weather's supposed to be phenomenal. Conspirator, Alicia, Blue Tex, Flatterbox, Bass Signs, Spankalicious, Alpaca, and a bunch of other amazing electronic artists are going to be there as well. And our friends at Grassroots California will be there in the GRC Dome. Tickets and information online at talltreelakefestival.com. We'll see you there this weekend. Win tickets to see Anasia, Bass Nectar, Pretty Lights, Congo Rock, Yodo, Ott, and Kilowatts by visiting theunz.com/contests. Please visit theunz.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the Unz podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunz.com. That's A-N-A-N-D at theunz.com. Join the conversation at The Unz Podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next time.